They step into the biggest shows with the biggest names. And sometimes they get written on or off in a moment's notice. It's time to find out all the dramatic details of what it's like to be a guest star. With your host, Pete Ferrero.
Let's go.
All right, this is really awesome. On guest star this week, we have Kevin Johnson, man. How are you doing? How's all in your world? I mean, listen, Ozark is out. I have not watched the season yet, so we're not going to spoil anything for anybody. Just a disclaimer at the top of this. This is not a spoiler show. We're just talking about process and acting and getting in and all that. But before we came on, you were talking about the WWE's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Which just happened this past weekend or whatever. And so were you like a wrestling fan kind of, or tell me about your relationship with wrestling?
Yeah, I was big into wrestling when it became really popular back when I was in high school, like the Attitude Era.
Sure. The good years. Yeah.
a lot of people say that like, that's the biggest it's ever been.
Stone Cold and The Rock, yeah, and all those guys. Yeah.
Triple H. Yeah. It's that was a crazy, crazy time. The WCW versus WWF at the time.
Well, at the time, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the Wildlife Federation were like, wait a minute.
That's ours. Yeah.
But they had already, like, hadn't they been the WWF forever?
I know. You'd think that years ago they would have got through that. You know what
right?
I mean?
But then it just became so big. The Wildlife Federation was like, yeah, we need this, not you guys. We're going to take this back.
But you were telling me that in this unit, because of Ozark, which we're going to talk about a lot, you became friends with Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
From WWE. Tell me how that happened.
It was crazy, man. I was already watching it with my buddies again, and I knew who Becky Lynch was.
Of course.
And I thought she was awesome. And then I saw her on Billions, which I love, on Showtime.
Great show.
So I put on Twitter, I was like, hey, Jason, can we get Becky Lynch on Ozark? You know, just joking.
Exactly. Yeah.
And she goes, send for the man anytime. And then followed me back. And yeah, it's crazy. Like we stay in contact.
That's dope.
I wished her happy birthday yesterday. Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait to meet her in person. We were supposed to meet because they had day one in Atlanta, the last pay-per-view.
That's right.
And we were gonna try to like meet backstage, almost like pen pals, you know, back in the
day.
That's
amazing.
Like we're pen pals.
Right? Yeah.
But we couldn't get together because of COVID. It was a little crazy, she said. So
it is interesting that social media has become this like big pen pal, right? But back in the day, you've had a pen pal or whatever. Now we're pen pals with so many people all over the place. It's really interesting. It's an interesting way of looking at it, probably.
It's interesting. It's also, I mean, social media is good, and then it can also be bad. Like, it's like, because you can overthink it, because you're like, oh man, I gotta say happy birthday to so and so. I gotta comment on pictures. Like, I gotta let them know.
It's a whole other job in a way.
I care about them. Like, hey, I'm here, and I see what you're posting, and I like it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It can be a little overwhelming sometimes. Yeah.
So I want to ask you, I'm always start kind of here, where did like the acting bug sort of start with you?
In college. But I feel like if I think about it and I go back to when I was a kid, I kind of always had that, you know, imagination going like rampant in my head. I was a huge Superman fan when I was a kid.
Mm.
So of course I tried to imitate like where he like that, like the old movies back in the 70s where he would rip his shirt off coming out of the phone booth.
Yeah.
Like I just assumed that I could fly. I was so young. I was like, yeah, like he can fly. Why can't I fly?
Right.
So I think it goes all the way back to that. And I just never really, tried it until college. And and just wanting to get out of my shell. Yeah.
So what was it? What did you try and how did you like, I'm curious, like in terms of the process of like, okay, well, I'm into this now, right? Like I'm going to, I think maybe I'd like to act. What was there a moment like that in college that that happened to you or?
So I went in as a computer science major.
Totally different than acting.
Right? Thinking I wanted to make video games because I liked video games growing up.
Sure.
And I thought, well, that would, I mean, how hard can it be to make video games, right?
that seems impossible.
So I got to college and I was taking programming classes and I was like, you either have this or you don't, and I ain't got this.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. In a way, it's interesting with acting. I feel like there's a lot of actors that don't get that. You know what I mean? Like they're not really good at acting, and then they just keep going and going. But with computer science, it's clear. I don't understand any of these. I don't understand any of this word.
It's just like, I mean, yeah, there was good money in computer program, but you got to be good at it. And
yeah, no doubt.
I would have never. I don't know if I could have ever made it. So
a lot of good ideas for video games, maybe, but not actually executing the programming back end, right?
Yeah. So I switched to be an English major. And the way acting kind of came about is one of the big assignments for English 110, which was like the introduction to English, was going to see the big play of the semester. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. It was a funny musical. And I had seen plays in high school, but there was just something different about going to see a play in college on a grander scale, bigger auditorium, and seeing people who go to Clemson and who are on stage and performing and singing and watching the audience just laughing and taking it all in. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, man, this looks like a lot of fun. Like I think I should give this a shot. And I think the next day they had like a meeting for people who were interested in taking acting classes the next semester. So went to that, saw a couple people who were in the show, like they were doing the Q&A. It was like a small little round meeting, and I was like, oh my god, it's the people from the, it was like so and so from the show,
right?
And they were students at the college, but they were like,
they're not famous, right?
It was like a celebrity though, because I got seen them on stage. But yeah, that's how it all started, watching that and just wanting to try something different and break out of my shell, because I'm kind of an introvert. So
I mean, this is a big way to do that. You know what I mean? Like being on stage in front of lots of people. Was it theater stuff first? I think, right? That's kind of where you started. You started doing some plays and stuff.
Yeah, it started with theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was that experience like? Because we're going to talk about guest star stuff, but I've talked to some people that guest starred and did things in front of a live studio audience. And it's like a totally different approach to acting, right? I mean, like, being in front of on stage with where there's no really cut room for error is a challenge. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah. I mean, was my first, dive into acting was on stage, and it was pretty crazy. Being in front of a live audience, especially on opening night, for my first, performance that I had for a play in college, and it was a little nerve-wracking, but you get that out of the way, that first performance out of the way, and I mean, it's nervous every time you're going on stage or you're going on set. Like, I think if you're not somewhat nervous, then that can backfire on you. Like having a little bit of jitters, as long as you're not like freaking out or something. I mean,
sure,
it keeps you on your toes for sure.
Before you said that you're an introvert, naturally an introvert, but I think most people think of actors and they think, oh, they're this always, they've got to be the opposite of that, right? Extroverts. But I'm curious, being an introvert, do you, I mean, this is, we can, this is a deep question maybe, but do sure. do you go through the material of anything that you're on in a different way? Do you know what I mean? Because you can internalize a lot of this. Is there a difference, you know, as opposed to one of the other actors that's like, you know, vivacious and, you know, and, you know, out there in the world, do you find that you interpret the material differently by being an introvert, or is that not a factor?
I don't think it's a factor. I think I dissect the script, you know, break down the beats and what do I want in this scene? What is holding me back from getting what I want? You know, how do I get what I want? And like my acting teacher was huge into personal objectives. I mean, finding a fictional objective for the scene and then kind of finding a way to make a personal objective out of that, you know, without getting on the soapbox of like acting techniques.
But I love this. I mean, this is, it's interesting to hear everybody's perspective of what they do in to become these characters. You know, we're going to talk about some heavy stuff that you've done. And, you know, I'm curious about where that started from. And I'm curious also about the training and teaching. Okay, you did a play and then you started going full throttle. Is there a specific teacher that like really mentored you and you learned a whole bunch from?
His name is Lon Bumgarner. I grew up in Lake Wylie, South Carolina. And when I graduated college, I moved back. And Lake Wylie is like right near Charlotte, North Carolina. So I eventually moved there. And then I was taking classes with him for like years. And then eventually I moved to Atlanta, where I am now. And he started doing classes here. So when I can, I try to get back into the class. But yeah, he taught me a lot. And he's very humble. He's like, Kevin, no, you, it was all you. I was like, yeah, but you showed me things that I didn't realize. Like I remember in my first class with him, subtext was the class, and I hate mayonnaise. Can't stand it. It's the one of the most disgusting things in the world.
Fascinating. Yeah, I know people do feel that way. Yes.
And he goes, well, what if you had to do what if you had to do a scene or a commercial where you ate like something with mayonnaise on it? And the line was, I love mayonnaise. Now, you know, you don't love mayonnaise. So what you're doing is you're pushing through the line, which is I love mayonnaise, to show that you hate mayonnaise in a way. Like that's the subtext.
Yes.
But you want to, you cover that up with different strategies so the audience sees that you like the mayonnaise, if that makes sense.
It does. have you had to do anything with mayonnaise to this moment? Now that you've said this, I'm sure somebody is going to give you a big old mayonnaise scene.
Right. Yeah. Hey, we want you to eat this mayonnaise sandwich with like bananas and or something crazy. Yes.
People do have an issue with mayonnaise. It's a thing.
It's so weird, man. It's like it because I see it as white and I think of ice cream.
Sure. Oh, okay.
And it's going to be savory and it's going to be.
Right, it's kind not, of, and it's like, really, it's not really a wonderful flavor either. It's not like, you know, like where people, I mean, I don't mean to get into this. It's not like this really awesome flavor where you're like, oh my god, that mayonnaise is so. Nobody's ever probably said that this mayonnaise is so great. You know,
it's like a binding agent, right? Like
exactly.
It binds. That's it's. Yeah.
We're in the weeds
forever.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to start then. How does some of the TV stuff you're doing theater? Where does some of the TV stuff start?
So that started with One Tree Hill.
Right.
I want to say in like 2009, 2010, and that was my first TV show, SAG show. I'd been like in a Burger King commercial. I think that was my very first SAG project.
A lot of people, just for people that don't understand when you're saying SAG, right? I mean, we're talking a word that we know and people should know what that means. But it is also a thing about young actors trying to get their SAG card and all that. And the SAG is just it's a group. Why don't you explain what SAG is and then talk about the process in getting, it's not an easy process to get your SAG card for actors, right?
It's different in I think different states. I got mine when I was in North Carolina. First you have to become SAG eligible.
Right.
And SAG is the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes.
The union. So the Actors Union, like the SAG Award, so that's what that is.
Right.
And you have to be, since Charlotte or North Carolina is a right to work state, you don't have to be in the union to audition for union projects. So say I got One Tree Hill, and say that was my first union gig.
Right.
I think Burger King was. But that would mean I would get a letter through the mail saying, hey, you're SAG eligible, you can join. Whereas I think, for example, New York or Los Angeles, I think once you book a SAG job, you're what is it called? It's a must join.
Yes.
At some point you have to join because yes. It's not a right to work state.
So you got so now you're SAG and now you get this opportunity. Do you remember what the audition process was like for One Tree Hill? It's a big show. I mean, it's a huge TV show. I mean, people, you know, they come to this. It's like I host a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. It's on that level. You know what I mean? It's a major show. So it's a big role to get. You know, what was that process like for you?
So I got the audition and it was for like a super fan, for one of the characters. So like a co-star under five, as they call them. And the way they did it back then, sounds so weird to say that, but,
it changes like every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to drive to Wilmington, like maybe I think the next day I had to drive to Wilmington after I got the audition. And I was thinking about not doing it. I was like, I don't want to drive to Wilmington from Charlotte. That's like that's like 4 hours or something like that. So I called my dad. I was like, Dad, I got this audition for One Tree Hill tomorrow in Wilmington. You wanna go with me? You know, take a drive. We'll have some food in Wilmington, do the audition and see what happens. So we did that, got there. Did the audition, and the way they did it then, at least this casting office, you did the audition, you stuck around for a couple hours, and then you found out if you were going to have a callback, and the callback was the very same day. So I did the audition, got a callback, did the super fan and the callback as well, and then they were like, well, we got this other role that they just came out with for Camera Guy. And I was like, okay, cool. So yeah, we just want you to read for that as well. So I read for that, and my memory is not great. Like I'm horrible at cold reads. So I was like, oh crap. So, but I looked
because you learned the whole other thing, the super fan thing, right? So this is like,
yeah,
this is a whole other thing now that you're reading for, like in like, boom, now.
Yeah.
Right.
And but it was such an easy, like it was literally what a camera person would say. It was
right.
3, 2, 1 and
right.
go. I was like, okay, well, even I'm not gonna screw that up. So I did that. They liked it. And you know, we were driving back and I got a call it was the next day that that my agent called me and said, hey, they want to book you for Camera Guy for One Tree Hill. And I thought it was like a one-off kind of thing, but it's, you know, it's a camera guy, so they can easily bring him back. And they brought me back like for two more episodes. And it's crazy. I would never think that anybody would remember my role in that show, but there was a scene where Millie, She's like one of the main characters, newscaster, and she's dressed up as a chicken. So it's something that
iconic in the world, iconic in the world of One Tree Hill.
Right? Yeah, you're not going to forget about somebody.
Yeah,
you're not going to forget about somebody dressed up as a chicken.
Right.
So when I told people that I was in One Tree Hill, and I tell them the episode, they're like, "Oh yeah, no, I remember that scene." Yeah. Oh, you're the camera guy. So that was my first TV gig. Yeah.
I'm curious. Because when you come onto a set, I mean, that's the first thing. And, you know, One Tree Hill has some sets that, you know, people identify with. Was there any of that little fan of you that's like looking at the set or this thing and being like, geez, I'm on One Tree Hill right now? Did that happen?
It was interesting. Like when you get to meet the cast,
sure,
you're like, oh man, wow, I've seen them on TV, and then you see, like, them coming out of their trailers, and there'll be fans out there wanting autographs and everything. So that was all new to me.
Well, but you know, it's interesting too because, like, I mean, trying to navigate the sets of, you know, being a guest star, a co-star, whatever it was called at that time, can be a challenge, right? You have to kind of learn what's cool, who's cool, where do I fit in this world? How do you navigate some stuff like that, especially on like a show like that, One Tree Hill, where there's probably behind the scenes drama happening?
I think that's where being an introvert maybe kind of helps me, because I kind of just kind of blend it, like, because you never want to be that actor that's on set and like hair and makeup, or the AD is like, where's Kevin? Where'd he go?
Where's the camera guy? Yeah, right.
He just disappeared.
Yeah.
So I was always kind of like, I was in my trailer just doing my thing. Or if you're on set in between like setups, you know, you're just sitting in your chair. You're probably sitting next to one of the main characters in the show. And I always felt weird about like, just kind of like, hey, so how are you doing today? You know, how's everything going? Who's your agent? I'm just curious. Like, I didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Cause it's like, well, it's not like we've known each other for years, but curious, like coming back to the, you know, coming back to the show a few times, does that sort of, oh, hey, what's up, man? Or whatever. You know what I mean? Like you catch
back. If you're on set, you know, more time, you know, more and more, then I think that rapport just is going to happen. But like, if you're on there for a day, you know, don't make it weird.
Exactly. I've interviewed Paul Johansson, who was on One Tree Hill as Dan Scott, I think for years on that show. I don't know if you ran into him at all, but he was always like the evil guy in all the things that he's ever done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So you do a One Tree Hill. It's really awesome. What happens next, man? So that's a big deal. And I'm sure, you know, does it happen where your agent's like, that was great, now we can push through on some other things?
Since that was my first TV gig, I was still trying to, you know, definitely build a resume. And I think, what were some other things I got after that? I was on the movie Prisoners with Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman. That was cool. Like one or two days, but we had a cool scene at the end of the movie. I did the show Banshee. I was on that for a day. These are all like, you know, kind of quick things, nothing big yet.
And when you come in for something like that, right? I mean, are you like, because you want to make a good impression, you want to keep working at that time, you know, what is that process like for you? I mean, how are you learning these characters with, you know, this world where you're only kind of there for a day or two and whatnot? What is that experience like at that time as being an actor? Because I've talked to actors and they always talk about like the process of, you know, sort of getting more work and whatnot, and how hard it is on being an actor at sometimes in the career. You don't know if you're going to get the next part. You don't even know if you're going to get these things. So what is that like for you? And how do you manage some of that?
Oh, that like downtime where you're just, nothing's happening.
But, yeah, everything happened last week, and now I don't what the, you know.
It's crazy. I kind of compare it to, I suck at golf. I'm not a good golfer. But, you know, you hit like a drive and it feels so good, but it takes forever to hit one. And you're like, all right, I'm going to hit that next one too. And you go swing after swing and you can't hit it. But when you do hit it, you feel like you're on a roll. So that's kind of the way it feels like I think I booked, the show. Oh man, what was it on MTV? Finding Carter.
Yeah.
So that's right. I booked Finding Carter, and I booked something else, the same, like back to back. I was like, oh man, I'm on a roll. This is great. And then nothing. You just never know what casting, what producers are looking for. So you just have to, I always say, you got to be kind to yourself in this business, because it can eat at you if you let it. So find something you love to do outside the business. Have a support group. Like, it's great if you like in Atlanta here, there's a lot of actors here. So we all know each other and we all root for each other. So it's good to have like that support in the business. Yeah.
And so let's talk about Ozark and getting into that. Cause that's a big break. I mean, that's a huge deal to land Ozark. And what was that process like for you? How did you auditioned, or what, how did it all come about? And I mean, I think it was, you were in the first season, so it was a new show. So it wasn't like you walked in with like, well, this is a huge show, but you know who's attached to it. So
yeah,
it should be good, right? But we, you know, in this world, there's so many shows and there's so many streaming platforms. For something to make it, it's got to be really good. And it obviously is a very good show. What was that process like for you in the beginning?
So when I got the audition, it was for like a couple episodes at the time, co-star, recurring. And I didn't know the difference between, and I was like, I think I was like 10 years into my career, and I still really didn't know the difference between co-star and guest star, because I was never getting these guest star opportunities. So I taped it, felt good about it, sent it in, and I found out that they were going to go with somebody older for the role.
This is a taped interview. So you weren't even, audition. So you didn't even audition in a room, which is a new process, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I sent it in, and
they're going with someone else. Yeah.
They were going to go with somebody else, somebody older. And I was like, you know what? This isn't my first rodeo. Been here. So on to the next one. And I was driving back to Charlotte. I live living in Atlanta now, and driving back to Charlotte for a call back for a short film. And my agent calls me and he's like, hey, they want to book you for Ozark. And I'm just like, wait, I thought they were going to go with somebody older. And he goes, what can I tell you, man? They want to book you. And I was just over the moon. Now, keep in mind, this is only supposed to be a couple episodes at the time, but it was a recurring role. And I felt like, oh man, this is going to be cool. And because I had read the sides for the audition, part of me was like, I see this guy sticking around. I don't know why. I can't see them just knocking this guy off out of nowhere.
Well, the first season's awesome, because like you have the whole thing with the mother and the whole, and the, I mean, that's some of the best stuff in that season. I mean, I love it, man. It's really good stuff. So how do you start finding Sam, this character?
Oh man. So I wanted to make sure that he was grounded in truth, you know. Yes, he's affable. He's he's trusting. He's a little naive, but I also just wanted to make sure, like, less, I've always been like less is more kind of thing. Like the camera is going to pick it up. If you're, if there's something that you want, then that's going to, the camera will see that. You don't have to, you know, show it. So for example, like the scene in season one, where it's still one of my favorite scenes, where I go and confront Wendy and Marty about my money, my inheritance money. I was going through a breakup at the time. Like I had just like, cause I moved to Atlanta with my girlfriend. Didn't work out, unfortunately. Very mutual.
Long distance is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, we moved together to Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So right. It just didn't work out. And it happened.
This is not, she's not coming on the podcast now to talk about it.
And here she's a very lovely girl. Yeah. She's very, it was a mutual thing. But so I used that, like I made sure to kind of try to have that inside me for that scene. So I had something real, going into the scene. So that's an example. And yeah, I've always been a big fan of like personal objectives. So, yeah, it's hard to explain, because it was the first role that I ever got where I got to have a character, like an arc,
yeah,
through four seasons. And the challenge was showing the growth of a character without changing the essence of the character. So that was a good challenge throughout the shooting. Yeah.
You shot the first season. It becomes, you know, it's a huge show. So it became a huge show. It worked. It was one of the shows on a streamer that everybody sort of, you know, was drawn to. It's a really good story. I mean, and it's still going on. We're in the final season now and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious for you when that happened. Because you don't know that we talked about the golf swing, right? You don't know what's coming, but it becomes this big show. Everybody's starting to talk about it. Tell me what that's like for you as an actor, as a person too, like who's been working at this.
After the first season, like what that was like.
Yeah.
It was pretty exciting. Like I knew while we were shooting it that we were making something special. And Netflix is really good at, you know, kind of keeping it hush hush, so
and they make it more there's also like they make it more special, you know what I mean? Know when they've got something really special, they just have a way of like just doing their Netflix thing, you know. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I had this feeling, and my friends knew what I was that I was shooting a show, and I was just like, guys, I don't think you know what's coming. Like I think this is going to be really good for my career, and the show is going to be great. And if all my scenes make it into the first season, then this could be a game changer for me. Really could. So when it came out, I was super excited. Got to go to the premiere. And that was amazing. Like it was like the whole red carpet thing was so new to me. And I was just grinning ear to ear. So I didn't have those quote cool looks on that first
right
that first red carpet, because you could just tell that I was just so excited to be there. And you're just hearing all these like camera people are like, hey Kevin,
it's
look
everything
over here.
That you've look ever here. It's probably everything that you've ever imagined or dreamed it would be, you know what I mean? When you have those thoughts of what my career acting career is going to be like, you are living in the dream at that point, right?
Yeah, it was insane. And I was like, okay, for the next season, when we do our premiere, I got to at least get a couple, quote, cool shots. Come on, you go. I can't be like
on the in the clouds.
Ear to ear for every one of them.
Yeah.
So I made sure to get a couple good ones. Uh-huh. But you can't help but just be excited because you work so hard in this business to get to do these things. And it's cool to see that validation from people, from fans, you know, saying, hey, you were great in the show, you know, having people like see me on the street and
I wanted to ask you about that. A couple things. Working with Jason Bateman, what is that like?
Oh, Jason, super down to earth guy, dry sense of humor. We didn't get a ton of scenes in the show together, but when we did get to work together, it was really cool. And he also directed me in some stuff, like in Ozark. So watching him go from, you know, acting opposite and then going back to Video Village to take a look at the playback and, you know, okay, let's set this up, let's do this different, and then coming right back and doing the scene again, that's, I don't know how you do it. Like that's gotta be draining. Mm-hmm. And only certain people can do that kind of thing. And he's really good at it. He knows what he wants. And I always say that he lets you play within the sandbox, so to speak. So, you know, he's an actor's director for sure.
That's cool. You knew you were coming back for the second season, I imagine, or how did you find that out? And then is it easier to start developing Sam because now you know, hey, I'm going to be on this show. You're a guest star now, I guess. Is that right? Or
yeah,
or you're a cast member now. I don't. Yeah. What happens? Yeah. Yeah.
So when I got the role, it was co-star. But before we even started shooting, my agent, you know, got casting and producers to bump it to guest star. So I was guest star. Nope.
Yeah.
From the get-go. Super lucky. That doesn't happen a lot.
Sure.
Especially if you don't have any guest star, you know, billings on your resume yet. But I think they also saw that this guy could be around for a little while. And when you watch the first season, you can tell he's guest star. I mean,
he's right in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, what was the question?
So talking about then going into season two, you got your guest star now, you're going to be on the show again. And, you know, and obviously you're going to continue moving forward. But what is the process like in terms of like developing Sam even further there? Now you have known that you're going to have this season, you know where you're going and all this kind of stuff. And how much do you know about where it's going? And, you know, is it like you're getting a lot of information, or how much information are you getting and how are you treating him now that you're coming into season two?
So I wasn't positive I was coming back for season two. Felt really good about it the way it ended. It wouldn't have made sense if he didn't come back.
You were not written off in any way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So.
So I was lucky I struck up a friendship with our showrunner, Chris Mundy, who's awesome. And we would talk before the seasons, like, hey, this is what we have in mind for Sam coming up. So when season two, when they were starting, you know, the writing process on season two, we got on the phone and chatted, and he was like, hey, so we got this in mind. He's going to go work at the strip club with Ruth, and he's also going to have a love interest in the show. And I was just like,
whoa. Yeah.
So we're going from season one, working in a real estate office, meeting my mom getting hit by a truck, to me going to work at a strip. Like, Sam is becoming an integral part of the show. And it was just amazing. And I was just so blessed that they liked what I brought to the role, and they just kept writing more stuff for me. It's just been amazing. Yeah.
It's a credit to you, man. I mean, in the acting, I mean, I'm sure you've seen people not get written into shows, and you've heard those stories, but when you are in touch with your craft, and I think that's what's important to say here, I feel like there's an authenticity that comes out of you as Sam in that character. You've tapped into something really special. And I can see why that they would continue to bring you back. I mean, the work that you're doing on that show is really, really awesome.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah,
it's been a wild ride. Jason was telling me in the final, like this final season, like when he was on set, he's like, man, I always try to find something to correct you know, like I think I'm going to see something wrong in the dailies, and I never do, man. You're just like, because Sam is so easy to overplay if it's done wrong. Like, you could play him like a goofball, like, you know.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. But I don't play him like a goofball. I play him like, he doesn't think he's a goofball. So why?
I'm curious, how close are you to the Sam? How?
I think the writers are so good. You know, they realized, I think they saw what I brought to the character and, you know, made Sam and Kevin kind of mesh.
Adjust based on hearing Kevin now, as opposed to this character that was on paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sam is a little more happy-go-lucky, I guess, sometimes than me. But I kind of dial it when I'm on set. I kind of dial it up a little bit, you know. Just it's also like the whole dance with the date that brung you thing that I've always been taught. Like if you're excited to be on a show, then like that should come through.
Right.
You know, relatively speaking, without like saying, "Oh my God, it's Laura Linney." <Right. laughs> Kevin, we're in a scene together. What are you doing?
Exactly.
So like without giving anything away for season 4, I won't even tell the characters or anything. I was in a scene with somebody who I had seen in a number of shows during the pandemic. And I found out that we were going to be in a scene together. And it's written where Sam is kind of excited to see this person. So I was like, well, I've watched this guy on TV during the pandemic. I, Kevin, am excited to get to work with this guy. So why? I'm just going to dance with the date that brung me and be a fan of this character. When you see the show, you'll know what I mean. Yeah.
I'm trying not to spoil anything. All right. let me ask you about Julia. I mean, you work a lot with her, right? So talk to me about that.
Oh man. Dude, amazing. Like powerhouse, badass, offset. She's just a sweetheart on camera. She takes nothing from any, like she's ruthless, man. It's amazing her process and getting to see where her career is going, you know, like it's been awesome to see. Yeah.
It's cool too, because I feel like that's probably going to happen to all of you all, you know, that with this show being so great and everybody, I feel like all, you know, I think it's really is great for your career. Like you were telling everybody, you know what I mean? And I want to ask you about something though, about not Ozark related, the movie with Tom Hanks that you did, Mr. Rogers. I forgot the title.
Oh, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah. So you were in that movie, right? But you're not in the movie. So let's talk about this guest star life. You know what I mean? You get cast in this movie. Talk to me through what happened in this situation.
So I was cast in the movie. And at the beginning of the movie, there's this awards banquet for like journalists. And what's the main guy in the show, in the movie?
Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. You're talking about the character, or?
Well, from The Americans. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Oh, geez.
It's okay, and I am too. So I'm no help.
Oh, I'm not, man, he's such not a good actor night. Too. Yeah. He was in Perry Mason, which I just saw on HBO. That was good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Reese Rhys. Oh man, what's his name?
All right, just we'll skip along. Well, yeah,
this is taped, right?
We can exactly. Exactly.
That awkward pause where he just says nothing.
we both tried to remember someone's name.
So the main character, he's up on stage and he's presenting an award, and he's in a bad mood. And I'm the one he's presenting the award to. So he says, so-and-so to the stage, congratulations. And I get up there and I accept the award. And that's, and then it's improv. It's just like talking, you know, it wasn't in script. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, whoops, I guess they didn't put that in. So I'm in it at the very, like, you can see me sitting down in the front row during the awards banquet thing, which is funny.
But the speech, so I got resistance. The speech is not included, but
it's
so
not. No.
What is that feel? I mean, that's, you know, it's not Ozark. It's a totally different kind of experience. So it's like a reminder. It just is, just with this Ozark thing going on, this can still happen to any.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. That wasn't my first time that happened. I did a movie called The Fifth Wave, with Chloe Grace Moretz. And I booked that, and then they cut my role. So they gave me another role, and I got on set, and it was so funny. I knew this wasn't going well when they were like, director said, okay, I need you to keep, you walk back and I'll tell you when to stop. So I'm just walking and walking and walking and walking away from the camera, mind you. And I'm like, and I turn around and I see how far the camera is. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work out very well. There's not going to be anything for my reel on this. So it was basically a glorified
extra
role. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, though.
And I got residuals for that. But the funny thing is, for Prisoners, which I actually am in the movie, and I have lines, but I'm uncredited, and you can't go back and fix the credits.
Sure, and no, even on, right. They would not for this particular thing.
Yeah, on IMDb it still says uncredited. So
I'd figure you can. They probably could fix. Maybe I don't know. That's weird.
But it took forever to get residuals for it. I had to go through SAG and. Like say Warner Brothers, excuse me, they didn't pay me my residuals. Like it took years to get those residuals for a movie that I was in, wasn't in The Fifth Wave, basically, pretty much wasn't in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And somehow I got residuals for those off the bat.
It's a fascinating world.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. And then so I heard, I mean, I don't know if this and what you can really talk about, but you're going to be in the next season of Stranger Things. Is that true? Yes.
Yeah. The only reason I could talk about it is because I was in the teaser.
Right. So, well, that's how,
you know,
yeah.
I was like, hey, NDA all gone now. Like, I mean, I'm in the teaser. So now, obviously, I can't say what it
is. Well, it's going to happen. I don't want you to do that. Happens. We didn't even. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I'm gonna be, and you can kind of have your, you know, figure out some theories.
Sure.
About watching the teaser for sure. Yeah.
But what was, so, I mean, that's another really amazing big Netflix show. Now, it's interesting. You're in the big Netflix show, Ozark, right? And you're going into the other universe, which is amazing. And you shot everything already for that season? For Stranger Things?
Yeah, Stranger Things is in the can. I booked that right before the pandemic. So I was shooting that like off and on for a week and then everything shut down. And production was like, yeah, we're going to take a couple weeks off, see what happens, and then we'll probably be back. And I was like, that's not going to happen.
Couple of weeks. Well, that was the way of the world.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And and so everything was shut down for months. Then I came back in November of 2020, shot some more. And then in 2021, off and on, shot some more. So yeah, that was like a 2-year, like off and on. I'm
sure that's not what they wanted thing. But COVID really. Was it weird shooting stuff in COVID times with the new?
It was a lot of testing going on. and, you know, wearing masks. I mean, we kept everything really, we never had any big like halts in production on Ozark, and I don't think Stranger Things had any really either. So they were really good about, you know, keeping people tested, quarantines, all that stuff. Now, I did, right before I was supposed to start shooting season four of Ozark, I got COVID. So wow. They put me in quarantine, and I was like, oh crap, are they gonna cut some of my stuff out? And they did, thank goodness. Right when I came out of quarantine, they had me, you know, they were ready to go. So
it all worked out. Yeah.
It all worked out.
I think you were talking about Matthew Rhys earlier.
That's it. Matthew Rhys. Yeah. He was awesome. Nice dude too.
Very cool. All right, man, this has been great. I mean, anything else coming out? I mean, can't wait for Stranger Things. Ozark is out right now. It's really exciting stuff, man. And I've been watching that show for the last few seasons, and I'm excited to get into it, the final season. I kind of took the position I didn't want to know, because I didn't want to start talking like a spoiler to fans who maybe haven't seen it yet.
It's just part one, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Part yeah. two. Wait till you'll have to let me know what you think of part one.
I can't wait. Yeah.
It'll blow your mind. Yeah.
And so what else is coming up, man? Have you been auditioning and doing other things? What's happening right now with you?
Yeah, I've been staying busy with auditions. I just finished working on a really cool project. I can't say anything about it yet.
NDA.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. it's gonna be a really, really cool project, and I think people are gonna love it. No date on it yet. I did a show called Florida Man.
Yeah.
Which is gonna be on Netflix. No date on that yet, but I would say that's probably gonna come out this year at some point. And that was a lot of fun getting to work with Abby Lee. She was in the show Lovecraft Country.
Mm.
Really cool girl, awesome actor. And I would say if you like Ozark, I think you'll like this show. It's you'll dig it. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how much they revealed in the press about the show, but yeah. And Jason was the executive, one of the executive producers, his company, Aggregate Films. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. Well, I mean, this has been great catching up with you, and stay with us, man. You know, let's stay in touch. I think your work is incredible.
Thank you, man.
I can't wait to see all the other stuff that's coming out, because I think things are just starting to get going, and it's going to be exciting for you, and appreciate your time here, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one, man. Thank you.